Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome everybody to worship on this, the day that we remember and we commemorate the transfiguration of our Lord. This is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, the last Sunday before we begin the season of Lent. For our friends worshiping online, another reminder, as we usually do, to go to our website, that's chapelofthecross.org, and there at the website you will find, under the Resources tab, a place where you can download the bulletin for the service and follow along that way. You will also find there on our website options for giving your offering to the Lord and His church, or you can just mail that offering into the church office. Number of things to share with you before we begin to worship today. As I said, the season of Lent begins this week. February 17th is Ash Wednesday. We will worship on that Wednesday at 11 in the morning, as well as 6:30 in the evening on Ash Wednesday, and then each Wednesday thereafter at those same times until Holy Week. Please join us for midweek worship during Lent. We will also record that morning service and post that morning service online for those who are unable to come in-person worship. Season of Lent is a special time to spend a little more time in the Word, not only during worship, but also during our special personal devotion time. There are some special Lenten devotions at the Welcome Center produced by Lutheran Hour Ministries that you can pick up and take home and utilize during the season of Lent. So I encourage you to do that. Go to our Welcome Center and you can pick up a copy or two of those. Chapel has begun offering in-person Sunday school for elementary age children. Teachers and students will be following similar health and safety protocols that we follow here in worship, as well as what the children follow as they go to school. Virtual Sunday school lessons will continue to be offered online for those who are unable to come on Sundays, and that can be found on our website, chapelofthecross.org. Our Sunday morning Bible study is now available on Zoom, so that starts this weekend. For those unable to attend in person, or if you come Saturday night, you can't get back on Sunday, you can tune in to our Bible class at 9:45 a.m. is when Bible class starts. Information about how to do that is in your chapel weekly this weekend. We thank everybody for their donations of diapers and wipes for our Friend of Mom ministry. The Life team is collecting those donations in the crib outside in the Commons area, and we'll be collecting through the end of the month of February. If you would still like to donate, haven't yet had a chance to go to the store and get some of those diapers or wipes, and if you're still going to do that, we just let you know, we especially need smaller size diapers. So just keep that in mind if you're planning on going and getting some diapers for the donation. If you wouldn't mind picking up smaller ones, we're especially low on those. So thank you very much for that. Tomorrow at 12 noon, we will be hosting our annual marriage anniversary celebration here in the sanctuary. We invite all married couples and their families to come, and part of that service is a time of renewing our wedding vows and just celebrating the gift of marriage that God has given. If you have a special wedding photo, we ask you to bring that too, and we'll display those pictures in the Commons area on a table there. Again, that's tomorrow, February 14th, Valentine's Day at 12 noon. God's blessings to you as we worship this day. We begin our worship by listening to our opening hymn, O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair. For those using your hymnal at home, that's hymn number 413 in Lutheran Service Book.
Bright array, Christ.
We stand. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, our Father, we admit and confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Have mercy on us and forgive us, O Lord. We confess that we have not always brought glory to you through our words and our deeds. Have mercy on us and forgive us, O Lord. We repent of all that is sinful in our lives, both that which we know and those things unknown to us that are against your righteous laws. Have mercy on us and forgive us, O Lord. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, before your Son turned his face to Jerusalem and Mount Calvary, on another mountain you revealed his glory as he appeared with Moses and Elijah. Sustain your church both by his glory and also by your grace, and help us to reflect the glory of your love to all. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is from 2 Kings, the second chapter. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistles from 2 Corinthians, the 3rd and 4th chapters. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it when the radiance was fading away. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 1, that verse immediately preceding our gospel reading for today, says this. It says, "And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." The people that was referring to, those some who are standing there who would not die before they saw the power of the coming of the kingdom of God, that was Peter, James, and John, those three trusted disciples, that inner circle of Jesus, Jesus' closest friends. They will get this sneak peek of Jesus' glory as the very Son of God. The Bible says that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went up a mountain, a high mountain, Mark says, to pray. He needed some time to be with his Father, some good quality prayer time. And Jesus led them up that high mountain. Now, mountains, they're quite significant in the Bible. There's Mount Zion and Mount Carmel and Mount of Olives. Maybe as the disciples thought about this day, they remembered Mount Sinai, that mountain where Moses stood face to face with the Lord. And when Moses came down from that mountain, his face was literally glowing from his encounter with God. And here, the Lord is on another mountain, and you just know something big is going to happen. And it does. The Bible says that he was transfigured before them, changed in appearance. His clothing became whiter than white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them, Mark says. Matthew and Luke add that Jesus' face shone like the sun. Peter and James and John, they had seen some incredible things, but nothing like this. They had plenty of hints that there was more to Jesus than met the eye. I mean, he cast out demons like it was no big deal. And for him, it really wasn't a big deal. He heals sicknesses with just a word. He stops a storm with just a stern rebuke. He cleanses a leper with a loving and a tender touch. And he does all of that. Everything that God does, Jesus does. Because after all, he is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. But now here on this mountain, in front of Peter, James, and John, Jesus is momentarily transfigured. His divinity literally shines through his humanity with heavenly brilliance. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, we say he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. But Jesus and his disciples are not alone on that high mountain. Moses and Elijah appear. Moses, through whom God comes and gives the law on Mount Sinai. Elijah, the great prophet of Israel, the greatest of the prophets. Two men who in many ways represent all of the law and all of the prophets. And here they are, quite alive and well, talking with Jesus. Luke tells us that they were talking about Jesus' departure that was about to happen when he went to Jerusalem to die. Moses and Elijah, who with their lives and with their words pointed to Jesus and his coming, now they stand on either side of him, basking in his glory, to show once again that this is the one they were pointing to. And it's all too much. It's all too much for Peter and James and John to take in. I mean, you got shining Jesus there. You've got Moses and Elijah there. It's just too incredible, too majestic, too marvelous. But Peter, you know, being Peter, he's got to say something. So Peter blurts out that he wants to build three shelters, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Why? Who knows why Peter said what he said? You know, Peter probably didn't know himself why he said what he said. Maybe in the middle of his shock and his fear, that's all his mind could muster. Do you think that you or I would have reacted any differently than Peter or the other disciples? I mean, we might think that we would have wanted to see that incredible divine vision. And we might think, oh man, wouldn't it be great to be there on that high mountain, to be there and see the glory, to be on that mountain and to get this glimpse of heaven, the glimpse of glory. But I tell you what, if you think that, I think we have no idea what we're asking for. Because I think it was terrifying. All three gospel accounts use that same word for it, terror. Those disciples, they weren't just afraid, they were terrified. And if we were there, and if we could talk at all at a moment like that, I'm sure we would be blurting out silly things too, just like Peter. You know, we can't take a vision like this, not as sinful people, not like you and me. Because that sight is, it's too terrifying. That sight of glory, the glory is too great, and the light is just too brilliant. Jesus, in all of his glory, is just way too much. You know, maybe you've noticed, that's not how Jesus usually comes to us in all of his glory. He comes to us for sure, but not usually like that. Maybe that's why Jesus comes to us in more ordinary, everyday kind of ways. You know, he comes to us in, with, and under that ordinary, everyday bread and wine of Holy Communion. He comes to us in the ordinary, everyday water of baptism. He comes to us in the ordinary, everyday words and sentences and grammar of Scripture. He comes to us as a lowly baby, an infant, lying in a manger. He comes to us as a man, beaten and bloody, dying on a cross. And in his wonderful way, God is present. He's present in the bright light and the divine vision for sure, but he's also present in the ordinary, in the everyday. He is present in a way that we can handle. He is present not in a terrifying way. He is present in a very, very comforting way. God himself is present. But the disciples, they're still terrified with that brilliant light emanating from Jesus, a transfiguration of his appearance and the arrival of the long-dead prophets on that mountain. And it's just at that moment, when things can't possibly get any more terrifying, that the voice of God comes from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. They've heard that voice before. We have too. We heard it at the beginning of this Epiphany season at Jesus' baptism, remember? Now we hear it again on the mountain. Only this time, the voice of God adds an important command. This time, God says, listen to him. listen to Jesus. Pay attention to what he's saying, even when it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to you. When he tells you that he's about to suffer, when he says the religious leaders are going to reject him, when he says that he's going to be killed, when he says that he's going to rise again from the dead after 3 days, you need to listen to that, and you need to believe him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him when he says to you, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Listen to him when he says to you, this is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Listen to him when he says to you, it is finished. There is nothing you need to build or do or say. Just listen. Listen to him. Because that is how faith is created in you. That is how repentance is worked in you. That is how life is given to you. Listen to him. And then, suddenly, it's all over. The voice ceases. The cloud lifts, and the Bible says that they saw no one but Jesus only. No more Moses and Elijah, just Jesus. Only Jesus. But Jesus is all they needed, and Jesus is all we need. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life that will save us. Jesus alone has the blood that will cleanse us. Jesus alone can reconcile us to God. No one but Jesus only. You know, Moses with his commandments, that can't save us. Elijah can't save us. No one can save us. There is salvation in life in only one. Only Jesus. Whether he is shining like the sun on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, or he's coming to us humbly and lowly at the font, or in the bread and wine, or in the words of Scripture. It's the same Jesus, only Jesus, Jesus alone. Listen to him. It's important for us to hear, especially as we enter the season of Lent this week. This Jesus is going to Jerusalem, just as he said he would. And there the soldiers will strip him of his clothes, never knowing that on that holy mountain, those clothes were the clothes of God. Clothes that were dazzling white, whiter than anybody in the world could bleach them. But you will know that. And you will know that he was stripped so that you may be clothed. Clothed with the robes of righteousness. And they will strike him on the face. And they will strike him, never knowing that on that holy mountain, that same face shone like the sun. But you will know that. And you will know that his face was bloodied and bruised, as one from whom men hide their faces, Isaiah says, so that you would never have to hide your face from him. And when the crowds taunt and jeer and make fun of him as he hangs dying on a cross, they will not know that this is the one with whom Moses and Elijah spoke on the mountain, and whom God said, my beloved son. But you will know. And you will know that he hangs there on the cross for you, so that his father might call you my beloved son. My beloved daughter. And there we will see the glory of God. Not Jesus on the mountain flanked by Moses and Elijah, but Jesus on the cross flanked by two common criminals. And later on Easter morning, oh, we will see the glory of God Not Jesus shining forth that glory just for a moment, but Jesus glorified for all time. Death defeated, and Satan conquered, and heaven opened for you and for me. That's his glory. That's his power. And that Jesus, only Jesus, comes to meet us not with terror, but with love and comfort and peace and joy. He comes to meet us in our ordinary, everyday lives to give us life, to give us salvation, to show us sins paid for and sins forgiven, to gift us with grace upon grace upon grace. And in response to his love and comfort and life and salvation and mercy and grace and forgiveness, we hear and we obey God's command. We listen to him. And we look to no one else but Jesus only. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, it is good for us to be here, gathered into your church by your Holy Spirit. Grant that we may be attentive to your word, both as we receive your gifts in worship and as we live out our lives in your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, you raised up prophets like Moses and Elijah to minister to your people. Grant in our day an increase of those committed to your ministry, so that the church may be blessed with faithful leaders who guide and teach in integrity and truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, in your hand resides all glory, power, might, and dominion. Rule justly over the nations of the earth, that the forces of evil may be restrained. Provide wise and diligent leaders to this and every country throughout the world. Bless especially those who work to promote just and good government. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, comfort and strengthen those who are sick. We especially remember this day Mary Oberman as she undergoes treatment for cancer. Sandy Stein, who was injured after a fall. Bunny Neustadt as she is hospitalized. And Roberta Loesch as she has surgery this week. Lord, bless their doctors, nurses, and caregivers. Restore their health and give them strength to endure all things in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, the God of the living and the dead, in your transfiguration, you remind us that the saints are always with you. Comfort the dying and the bereaved, especially Joyce Widener and her family upon the death of her sister, Nancy, the family and loved ones of Carl Peril, who died in the Lord this past week, and the family and loved ones of Dorothy Tonietto, who died in the Lord on February 2nd. We ask you to bless these families with the certain knowledge that all who die in the faith are forever in your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we praise and we thank you along with those who are rejoicing in special milestones of your grace, especially Joanne Fanson as she and her family celebrate her 84th birthday today. Continue to bless and to keep her. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn, Alleluia, Song of Gladness, printed on page 11 in your bulletin.